The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It's on page 91 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Licinius Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. Amen. The Hundred Years' War was a series of conflicts waged from 1337 to 1453 between the Kingdom of England and the Kingdom of France for control of the latter kingdom. A person who saved France from the crisis of war and played a decisive role in ending the war was Joan of Arc. Among the literary works of George Bernard Shaw, an Irish playwright, was Saint John, based on the life of Joan of Arc, written in 1923. And the following is part of it. Joan, who became a soldier based on the calling of God, won the Battle of Orleans and wanted to fight with England soldiers to the end, when many, including the French King Charles VII, wanted to stop by signing an agreement. Joan argued in front of Charles VII, Archbishop, and other high officials that it was not the will of God to stop the war now. And the archbishop said, how do you know you're right? And Joan said, I always know my voices. Then Charles VII said, oh, your voice, why don't the voices come to me? I am king, not you. So Joan replied, they do come to you, but you do not hear them. You have not sat in the field in the evening listening for them. When the Angelus rings, you cross yourself and have done with it. But if you prayed from your heart and listened to the thrilling of the bells in the ear, after they stop ringing, you would hear the voices as well as I do. Today's scripture testifies that the word of God came to a humble man of John, not to the emperor, king, nor the high priests in the verse 1 and the first half of 2. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, Tetrarch of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Licinius Tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, Tiberius was the second emperor of Rome. He became the son of Augustus by her mother, married to the first emperor. Caesar in the Gospels is referred to this man in most cases. He was in the highest position compared to none at the time. All the officials of the court abide by his words. He had an excellent knowledge of economics and thus enriched the nation not by imposing heavy taxes to the people, but he earned a reputation by historians later that he did not trust people and was brutal in his nature. He died from mental illness eventually when staying in a hidden place of Capri. Pontius Pilate was appointed by Tiberius as the fifth governor of Judea in 26 AC. At the time, a governor was an acting Roman emperor who owned the control in politics, law, and military of the subject states. And they had an authority to execute death sentences, to change the decision of Sanhedrin, the high priest, the highest agency of Judea at the time, and to appoint and dismiss high priests. However, he was written as a person who liked bribery, mocked God, and gave ungrounded heavy penalty based on biased trials. Most of all, he understood Jesus was innocent based on circumstances. But he let Jesus bear the cross to keep his position, being afraid of what people said, that if he set Jesus free, he would not be loyal to Caesar. He served as the governor of Judea for 10 years, but based on Eusebius, a historian, he was dismissed from the position and killed himself on his way, being recalled to Rome. Moreover, he remained as one of the most cursed names by Christians, praying he was suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead in the Apostles' Creed. These three persons of Herod, Philip, and Licinia were the kings who had ruled parts of Israel. Herod Antipas is referred as Herod, who was the son of Herod the Great of Luke chapter 1 to 2. And the name of Philip is Herod Philip, a stepbrother of Herod Antipas. They were all called as Tetrarch, Tetrarchus in Greek, which means a king who rules one-fourth of one nation. There is an old computer game called Tetris. It is a game to match a line with various polygons and made up with tetrominoes. So the game is called Tetris. Herod Philip built a city of Caesarea Philippi. Licinia is hardly known. Herod Antipas was a ruler at most of the times of Jesus, so the Herod in the Bible mostly indicates this man. he fell in love with Herodias, who was the wife of his own brother Philip. He executed John the Baptist based on the request of Herodias' daughter when John pointed out this was not right. Jesus called Herod Antipas as fox because he saw the slyness and tricks in him. These three persons might have led the most extravagant lives in Israel at the time. And were treated well. The other two are the high priests of Annas and Caiaphas. High priests not only were the highest position in religious terms, but also had the greatest impact to Israel people as they could not think of anything in their lives except religion. High priest was supposed to be a life position, but it changed to an appointment due to the religious corruption. When Annas was dismissed from the position of high priest, he was able to maintain his strong power just the same as the high priest by appointing his son-in-law with bribes. So when Jesus was captured and questioned, it was Annas who were in front of him before Caiaphas. Not only that, high priests at the time took control of logistics of offerings. Animals to be offered to God must be perfect. But it was hard for those who come to worship services from distant places to bring animals by themselves. So they bought the animals and offered. And those animals were in many cases not perfect and ridiculously expensive. The prices were more than 20 times those in the market outside the temple. And even if people brought animals, they tried everything to find any flaw to reject the offering. They were high priests outside, but were not inside. They were just religious businessmen. Those seven persons were the most successful in their career at the time. They were the envy to everyone. However, today's scripture was not written for their success, nor to tell how much they enjoyed. Moreover, it is not to tell how we can resemble them. Although they might enjoy the spotlight from many people at the time, at least it was not from the Lord. To whom the attention of God was paid was testified as the latter half of the verse 2. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. God was looking at John the Baptist in the desert. Compared to the said seven persons, John was nothing in worldly terms. they might live at courts of the Roman Empire or the states under control of their slaves, or other types of palatial residence. On the contrary, John did not have even a small and humble house, and he lived in a cave in the desert. They might wear sacred linen or woolen tunic colored purple. John wore clothes roughly made with camel hair, while the seven others had dinner full of all the delicacies. John barely had grasshoppers and wild honey. Nevertheless, the word of God did not come to the Roman Empire, kings or high priests. The word came to John in the wilderness. That the word came to John in the wilderness at a time when Roman emperors, kings, and high priests ruled in two different ways. First of all, God works in our daily lives. The 15th year since Tiberius became the emperor is 26 AC. That year is when John the Baptist started his ministry and the Lord as well. Also, the gospel of God began on the land of Israel, where many kings took the control. God works in our daily lives. God came to the scene where Adam and Eve committed sins and hid. God saw the people of Israel suffered from slavery in Egypt, came to Moses, who had been a shepherd for more than 40 years, and let him accomplish the work of Exodus. God also stayed with David in his life to make him lie down in green pastures, led him beside quiet waters, let him take out a stone, and the stone sank into the forehead of Goliath and won. Jesus called the fishermen as his disciples from their workplaces of fishing and mending nets, and called Matthew, the tax collector, from the tax booth. Furthermore, when Paul was Saul, the Lord came to him on his way to Damascus, full of anger, to arrest Christians. God surely is able to work transcending our lives, but that is to let us live more righteous life every day and the life of God's touch. And it is not the purpose itself. Matthew 17 testifies that Peter, Jacob, and John followed Jesus to a high mountains on his way to pray and had a mysterious experience. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. The experience was so great and shocking that Peter suggested to build three booths and leave for the Lord, Moses, and Elijah. Peter didn't even count his own place to live. To such suggestion of Peter, Jesus did not say anything and came down the mountain. One undergraduate's son drove his father's car with his friends without permission and had an accident. His parents came to deal with the accident, but his friends were curious what might happen to him. Several days have passed, and friends met again. They asked the son, "Have you been seriously scolded? How did he say?" The son told his friends, "Should I skip the answer? Should I skip the swear words from what he said? Or do you want everything?" Friends said to skip. And the son said, "Then he said nothing." If the father scolded his son like that, that would not be because he treasured the car more than his son, but he might be disappointed at the son who did not live righteously and wanted to teach him to make more righteous decisions. As Jesus and his disciples were coming down the mountain, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him to have God's mercy on my son, who was seizures and was suffering greatly. The places where Jesus and his disciples were supposed to work were not the high mountains, but down the mountain, our every life. Second, no matter how complex the world is, and no matter how hard to live, that cannot stop the Lord from working. The land of Israel is approximately one-third of that of Korea, the size of the north and south of Jeolla province of Korea. Such a small land had four rulers based on today's text. A part was controlled by Salem, sister of Herod the king. A part fell under the governance of Syria, while some parts remained as autonomous districts. That such a small land was divided means the lives of people were that much unstable. Under such circumstances, the word of God came to John. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, by the Chebar River in the land of Babylonians, when he was put under such terrible circumstances as a war prisoner. The word came to Apostle John, suffering on the island of Patmos. Likewise, no matter how hard our life can be, that cannot stop God from working. What stops the work of God actually is ourselves, who are complaining about that situation in most cases. Even if we all live in Seoul, the metropolitan area, and in Korea, none of us is put under the same circumstances. Some would believe that being a Christian is easy, while others don't. But one thing for sure is that a certain circumstance cannot block us from the Word of God. No matter how large the world might feel, and no matter how hard our lives might feel, our love toward God cannot be blocked because God is far bigger than the world. Let me read the latter half of the verse to you again. The word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The verse says that the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah. It does not actually need son of Zechariah when you are referring to John. But this can be interpreted in two different ways. First of all, like father, like son. The times when John was born were hopeless, both politics and economy-wise. It's been 400 years since God did not send a prophet. It was when the faith of Israel people was very weak. At those times, the life of John's parents was as in the Luke 1:5-8. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, even when all Israel was spiritually in the dark, his parents were always truthful and made every effort to help them be upright. When other priests were corrupt, Zechariah stayed holy, doing what he had to do in front of God. Other priests lived in Jerusalem near the temple, but Zechariah lived in the mountain. He might have faced bully or could have been blamed. However, he always lived in front of God. Isn't it natural that such a father has such a son? The Bible testifies like that, since the son is living in the same way that his father had lived. The word of God came. In a different way, John, son of Zechariah, means that John gave up the vested rights. Zechariah was a priest, a position which can be passed on. Therefore, John could have lived as a priest. Numbers 8:23-24 testify as follows. The Lord said to Moses, this applies to the Levites. Men 25 years old or more shall come to take part in the work at the tent of meeting. Levites automatically became interim priests when reaching 25 years old and began to serve at tabernacle. At the age of 30, they were able to serve independently until 50. The age was lowered into 20 years old at the times of David, which could mean that John could have passed 5 or 10 years of apprenticeship period already if he did not live in the desert and became a priest. Then John could have lived an easy and comfortable life as a priest. But John did not want to have the festive rite staying in Jerusalem. He lived 30 years in the wilderness. He lives the life most corresponding to the purpose of God's calling. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent is the 4 weeks prior to Christmas in which we wait for Jesus, who came to the earth to save man who died from their sins, and Jesus who will come again. King Tiberius, Governor Pilate, Herod Antipas, Herod Philip, Licinia, and Annas and Caiaphas were blind by the worldly success, and their lives were full of privileges, so there was no space where the Word of God dwells. However, John the Baptist lived in the desert for 30 years to let people know Christ will come to this land. Since he gave up what he could enjoy and focus only on the Lord and made his life as the place of God's words, so the Word of God came to him in the wilderness. The Lord is in us already and holds us with his words. Nevertheless, if you still feel there is no word of God in your life, think about it. If you really let go of things and gave up what we're supposed to be in the first place, if we forego our privileges and look up the Lord at homes, workplaces, schools, churches, and all other places of our lives, the Word of God, which came to John, son of Zechariah, will fulfill us as well, so that the Advent and Christmas we are celebrating will be the season of words and the season of life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Roman emperors, kings of Israel, and high priests were at a position that people would envy of and looked as though who succeeded in their lives. However, by not giving up the finite power and what they had, they lacked spaces where the Word of God could come. But John the Baptist forgot his vast rights, which otherwise he could enjoy without doubt, and had plenty of spaces where the Word of God could come, even though he lived in a cave, wearing a humble clothes made with camel hair and having wild honey in a desert. Therefore, he could live a life well matched with the calling of God. Father God, on this first Sunday of Advent, we look back on our lives and confess that we thought we cannot let go of anything to enjoy more. And many times we tried not to let go of anything while trying to have more, and went blind with desires, and forgot that God stays in us always, and failed to recognize God is holding us with His words. We pray that we can empty spaces in our lives for the Lord, so that we can let go of the worldly privileges and replace the place with God. Help us listen to the word of God and answer to every calling of God, so that the season of Advent, waiting for Jesus, full of words and life. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.